Welcome to Exotic Pets. I'm Tracy Hotchner, whom you may know as the dog and cat lady, but I'm wearing a different hat here. With the brilliant collaboration of my co-host, Dr. Doug Mader, the world-renowned veterinarian specializing in exotic animals, we are here to celebrate all the other pets that share people's lives. This show is for people interested in pets that slither, hop, creep, fly, or swim, from bunnies to iguanas, parrots to ferrets, snakes to tortoises. Dr. Doug is going to teach us the physical requirements of these exotic pets and how to manage the often challenging environments and correct diets essential to their welfare. Dr. Doug Mader is the author of the wonderful memoir, The Vet at Noah's Ark, Stories of Survival from an Inner City Animal Hospital. He is recognized worldwide as a veterinary specialist on exotics and is the author of four major veterinary textbooks on reptiles and amphibians. We are proud to have ZooMed Laboratories as the founding sponsor of Exotic Pets. ZooMed has earned its reputation as the number one reptile and amphibian supplier in the world from simple beginnings 45 years ago as a passion project for one man who still runs it. Renowned as the international leader in UVB and heat lighting, ZooMed manufactures all their reptile supplies, accessories, and tools in the U.S., which they test on their own collection of animals, which surround everyone at headquarters. We're also sponsored by Oxbow Animal Health, the one brand that has stood out for more than 30 years as the leader in health and wellness for small mammals. Veterinarians, rescues, and passionate pet parents worldwide trust Oxbow to support the health and happiness of their small pets. Oxbow provides for rabbits and guinea pigs, ferrets and chinchillas, hamsters and gerbils, mice and rats, because these small pets have big hearts and require special nutrition and care. Oxbow has everything needed for their best life, the right hay and nutritionally complete foods, treats and supplements, litter and bedding, and a whole line of enrichment products created so your little loved ones can chew, play, hide, and explore every day. We're also brought to you by the bird food specialist Zoopreme, which started with a revolutionary yet simple idea: provide exceptional diets for extraordinary animals. Best known as the bird nutrition specialist, Zoopreme creates many foods for birds of all sizes, and they also make a variety of treats to appeal to every sort of bird and enhance their lives. What a pleasure to be back with Dr. Doug Mader, my fabulous co-host on this show. Whenever there's anything to do with exotics in general, but reptiles in particular, I can't wait to hear from him all the things I don't know. I know that lizards are very popular as pets, and I've heard of geckos, but mostly the guy on that TV commercial. So can you fill me in on what a real gecko is like and why I'd want to have one as a pet, Dr. Doug?
Oh, you bet, Tracy. Thanks once again for having me join you. It's always an honor and a pleasure, and I love talking with you and all of your listeners. Geckos are an amazing pet. You know, they've kind of recently come into popularity, and I think it came about with Geico Gecko. You know,
everybody wanted
to get their own Geico Gecko pet, and he is a pretty cool little lizard. You know, he's got a great personality, and interestingly enough, so did the real geckos, Tracy. There's probably several hundred different species of gecko, and the leopard gecko, which is one of the ones that's been around for, well, they've all been around forever, but in the pet trade for a couple decades now, is by far the most popular gecko pet out there. And they're a really cool lizard for many, many, many reasons, and I think they're probably one of the best starter reptile pets for any young child or even an adult that's interested in getting into reptiles.
Or do they stand up on their hind legs and look cute like that?
No.
Because some things do. I mean, prairie dogs stand up on their hind legs and look cute.
They do. And they will crawl up on the side of a cage while they're looking out. I mean, you know, people forget that you look into a terrarium and watch the lizard run around, they can look out and see you too. And geckos will learn their owners, and they will also learn patterns. And so they know that when you approach with a little bowl or some forceps that you're coming with food, and they may walk over and then walk up the side of the glass and stand on their back legs and look cute, just like the gecko on TV.
So the way to do that is make sure that you always use the same container when you're bringing dinner. What do they eat for dinner, by the way?
And that depends. Now, as I just mentioned, there's over, you know, several hundred species of geckos, and some of them are strict insectivores, which means they eat things like grubs, crickets, mealworms, and things like that. Some of them are more of an omnivore, and they'll eat some grubs and crickets, but they'll also eat some fruit. And then there are some that are almost carnivores. Like, you know, wow. Some of the bigger geckos will actually take things like other lizards and little mice and things like that.
Okay, wait. This sounds really cannibalistic. So if you have a larger kind of gecko, you have to provide him with a live smaller lizard, or that's just in the wild? We don't actually provide
in the wild. I'm not aware of anybody that's selling lizards as food. You might see that occasionally in a zoo where you have some really rare species of gecko or lizard in general that only eats lizards. So you have to feed them their natural diet. But let's get back to our little buddy, the leopard gecko. Excuse me, the leopard gecko. I can't stress enough how wonderful they are as pets, because
really?
I'll give you several things. Number one, they don't get real big. Okay, so I mean, full grown, they can sit in the palm of your hand. They have fantastic hearing, fantastic eyesight. Now they are nocturnal, which most geckos are, which means that they're more active at night. But if you wake up a leopard gecko during the day, they wake right up and they're extremely responsive to their owners. They can recognize their owners. They got fantastic hearing. They can hear. And what's really interesting too, and I'm going to divesting a little bit here, they have really large ears. And one of the reasons they have large ears is because they can hear so well. And the reason that they hear so well is because geckos are one of the very few reptiles that can actually vocalize.
Really?
And there are several species of gecko that, they don't talk like the one on TV, but they have different vocalizations and they can communicate audibly. And that's why they hear so well. And some of the species of geckos actually have such loud voices, you can hear them several hundred feet away. You know, it's sometimes as much as a tenth of a mile away, especially if you're in a place where it's fairly quiet. I just completely blanked. hold on one second here. God, don't get old.
Don't get old, folks, because
well, one of the geckos
escaping.
Definitely, the males call to each other, and you can, because they set up their territories, and they can call to each other, and that not only does it attract females, but it also acts as a way to keep the other males out of the way.
I was wondering, in fact, is that vocalization used mostly for breeding?
Breeding and reproductive behavior, and then territoriality. Tokay gecko is the one I'm trying to think of. It's probably the second most common gecko out there, and I completely brain farted. That's what happens when you get old like me.
Or you're distracted because he's been going through several continents to give talks, guys. I mean, we get to have him in our own device, whether we're in our car or at home. And Dr. Doug really spans the planet, you know, from Tokyo to the deserts of the Sahara. I don't know, really cool places. Everybody wants to know what he knows about all the exotics. So you're totally off the hook. You don't have to remember anything.
I can't get off that easy because I have a leopard gecko. I mean, a Tokay gecko.
You do?
We're crying out loud. If I've got one, I should remember the name of it.
No way.
No,
you
I just
have
too,
one?
Too much things. But yeah, it actually lives outside. So it's not a pet. And that it brings up the next point. The leopard geckos can be extremely friendly, and you can hold them. They'll interact with you. The Tokay geckos, on the other hand, not. They can be very, very aggressive. They're really powerful biters. They're one of the ones that will eat mice and eat small lizards. Interestingly enough, and this is kind of a neat little side point, and there's companies in New York City, it's not uncommon, that actually will lease out leopard geckos to your apartment. So if you've got a problem with bugs in your apartment, you get a hold of these companies and you rent a gecko, and then they let you have it in your apartment for a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever, and it'll just basically clear your apartment out of all the bugs. Now, when your apartment is bug-free, you give it back to the pet store or the rental agency.
My jaw is dropped open. If this was not radio, if this was
I'm
visual,
not making this
I'd be looking like
this
I'd be looking like my mouth was open to catch the flies that some of these geckos probably like to eat. Oh my goodness! Okay, so your bug infestation would be what, bed bugs or what kind of
cockroaches? Probably the most common in the big cities. You know, but they'll go after flies, cockroaches, moths, bed bugs, whatever they can see. Depending on where they live, scorpions. small mice.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, they're great little scavengers.
Well, they're great scavengers, but I mean, when they rent them to you, do they give you a little sleeping quarters for them? How do you tend to your gecko while they're on the job?
You turn them loose in your apartment, and then you just have to – I don't know how they get them back, because you really have to be careful when you're catching them, because when they bite, it's almost like a vice grip. So you have to be extremely careful if you get bitten by one. You would definitely want to wear gloves or catch them with a big towel or something. Or maybe whoever you rent it from, they'll come out and catch it for you. I don't know how that works.
This all sounds like way out in the weeds, but it sounds true. I mean, there are people that rent out. I've gotten a lot of my Weimaraners through Weimaraner Rescue, and there's a Weimaraner Rescue guy in Virginia Beach who rents out his Weims for bedbug detection, and they really come in. All these dogs, I mean, obviously not an exotic pet, but even a dog can sniff out bedbugs and help people get rid of them. So I'm sure if you had a cockroach infestation, be great. But then if you're sitting on your couch having a cup of something and going to watch the telly, what if the gecko has run out of food and considers your foot a good target?
They're not going to run out and bite you, that's for sure. They're pretty shy. But okay. Let's get back to our buddy the leopard gecko, because a couple of things that make them so valuable as first-timer pets. Number one, the personality. Number two, the facial expressions, because they have eyelids. A lot of geckos don't. But leopard geckos do, so they'll blink, they'll look around, they'll stare at you. They've got a cute little tongue that they stick out, just like the one on TV. They can live anywhere from 10 to 20 years.
Wow.
These guys are fairly easy feeders. They're insectivores, so you can get gecko food online. There are plenty of places that sell it. Easy to keep. They need hide boxes because they're nocturnal. So during the day, they've got to go into their quote-unquote bedroom. So it's nice and dark for them to sleep. They like humidity. So inside of their hide box, you usually put a little moisture in there, like a sphagnum moss or a small sponge. They do drink water, so they have to have a small water bowl. Even though they're nocturnal, they should have a good fluorescent light. The kind that ZooMed sells that produces proper UV, especially if they're young and they're growing. They need that UV to help stimulate their bones to be healthy. But they're really, really easy keepers, and the leopard geckos don't make noise, unlike the tokays, which bark and make a lot of noise. So if you do rent a tokay for your apartment, be prepared to hear the barking at night. The leopards completely quiet. You know, you feed them two or three times a week. You clean up their cage once a week. They don't make a big stink. They don't make a lot of noise. Your neighbors aren't going to complain. They've got enough personality that there's a lot of interaction when you work with them. They really do make fun pets. They're great for anybody that's just getting into reptiles.
It's a good way to put your toe in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So when you mentioned the fluorescent lights that ZooMed makes, because they make a lot of the lighting for different species of reptiles and amphibians who require certain specific kinds of light. They also make fantastic terrariums with these hidey tunnels and hidey boxes. Is that something good for a gecko? Because I've seen them set up at the pet conferences, and they're great looking.
There's no USDA regulations that or animal welfare guidelines that say how big a cage or what kind of cage a gecko has to have. It's just not covered. But the general rule of thumb amongst the serious hobbyists is that the dimensions of the cage, the width of the cage, should be at least three times the length of the gecko. So if you have a gecko that's, let's say, 8 inches long, the cage should be about 2 feet wide, okay?
Yep.
And then if you have some of the arboreal geckos, which are the ones that actually climb in trees, and there are geckos that live in trees, you want it to be a minimum of a foot tall, if not taller, with proper cage furniture like trees and climbing rocks and things like that.
What's really cool about those trees, I've learned a little bit about them, is that they're from expired coffee trees, a lot of them. They're beautiful. They look like driftwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was suggesting when I was talking to a vet, a vet that you introduced me to, actually, and discussing whether any of those expired coffee trees could work as a cat perch in a catio. And she got worried because there's something called a coffee plant, which is just a house plant, which is wildly toxic to cats, really makes them sick. but it's entirely different from the coffee trees, which in all the displays that ZooMed has, they have these incredibly artistic, driftwoody looking wood. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about as being cage furniture?
Yeah, coffee trees, manzanita branches, there's a bunch of different types that are extremely safe once they're dried out and cleaned.
So that's it. The gecko, you buy them at a pet store? Is that where you get one? I mean, I don't suppose there's any rescues for geckos.
You can buy them at pet stores. You can buy them online. I strongly encourage people to try and find a reputable breeder. And what I would, you know, if you can, and you can find these pretty much every month all around the country, go visit a reptile show.
Yes.
And you go to some of these reptile shows, and it's incredible. It's like, you know, a kid in a candy store. Because then you'll actually get a chance to see and meet all the different types of geckos. And there are some absolutely incredible ones, aside from the leopard gecko that I just mentioned and the tokay gecko, which is basically your little lizard pit bull. There's geckos I call gargoyle geckos, day geckos, crested geckos. The gargoyle gecko literally looks like something that should be perched on the side of a medieval building.
Wow.
But they make wonderful, wonderful pets, and they're really easy keepers. They're a little more expensive, but if you get more into the gecko keeping, and once you start, you get kind of hooked on it. It's because
they're
such fascinating animals.
I imagine if one is that exotic looking, it makes for a great conversation piece. I mean, if you want to wow your house guests, or if you're a kid and you want to wow your pals, they come over and see. I mean, talk about prehistoric. It probably looks full on prehistoric, right?
Yeah. I mean, Google it, gargoyle gecko. They're incredible looking animals. And again, these are one of the ones that are actually some of the fairly easy keepers. Some of them are a little bit more difficult to keep and more designed for the advanced reptile keeper or gecko keeper. So, you know, you have to look at what you want. You know, if you're just beginning, you don't necessarily want one that's going to eat lizards. You don't want one that's going to take a lot of requirements. Start with something basic and simple that you know is going to be an easy keeper, and you're willing to keep it around for 10 to 20 years. Leopard geckos are a great way to go. They are the natural colors. And then over the years, they've done a lot of breeding for color morphs. So you have albinos, you have pinks, you have, you know, piebalds. I mean, they're absolutely like little pieces of jewelry. They're incredible.
Oh, nice. But none of them are lime green like the insurance gecko.
No, if you want to do that, he's modeled after what's called the day gecko. And the day geckos are really cool animals with one exception, and that is, now what's interesting about them is they're day geckos because they're actually active in the daytime, whereas the other ones, as I said, are nocturnal.
Oh, interesting.
But the day geckos have two things that are against them. You have to be careful. Number one, they're not easy handlers. They've got incredibly, incredibly paper-thin, wet tissue paper-thin skin, and if you grab them, their skin will rip. That's one of their defense mechanisms.
Ouch.
That's how you get away from their predators. And then they also will shed their tail at a sneeze. And you have this beautiful lizard, and then you handle it too rough, or you scare it, and it jettisons its tail. Now you've got an animal that's missing a tail. It will regrow, but it'll never be the same. So they're more of an animal that really should be for more of an advanced keeper. And some of the day geckos only eat things like nectar. So those are the ones basically that you're seeing on the Geico commercials. That's a day gecko.
So we're going to leave the day geckos on TV, and we're going to go for leopard geckos as a starter.
I think if you want to get started, Tracy, that's a really good place to get started.
It sounds great. And I love the idea of going to reptile shows, because then all the enthusiasts come together, educate each other, and set each other on the right path with their reptiles. And
yep.
I'm sure that the great thing about the Google machine is you can find anything anywhere, folks. So look up where there's going to be a reptile show near you. And even if you aren't ready to take the plunge, you can certainly immerse yourself in all of the reptile jewelry, as Dr. Doug calls it, that'll be around you. Thank you as always, Doug.
My pleasure, Tracy.
Dr. Doug Mader and I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Exotic Pets and our desire to educate and inspire you to give your exotics their best possible life. This show is brought to you by the wonderful companies that cater to the needs of exotic pets. From ZooMed Laboratories, where they make everything you need to keep your reptiles and amphibians in tip-top shape, to Oxbow Animal Health, with health and wellness solutions for small mammals, and Zupreme, the company dedicated to your bird's nutrition. And if you haven't read Dr. Doug's book, The Vet at Noah's Ark, yet, do yourself a favor and pick up a copy.